It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this fourth day of May. May the fourth be with you. That just sounds funny. I know. It makes me feel like I have a lisp. Nonetheless, may the fourth be with you. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. And, head on.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. And if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, well, by all means, run on by, headon.live, and click on chat room, and, well, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Stockton Larry, Squeaky, and Anatole. And for the time being, incapably moderated by yours truly. So, a merry time will be had by all. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for letting me know that the stream is getting out. That is not always something I can take for granted. That's helpful. Let's see. Where do we start? Well, we start where we always start, with gratitude. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and that means we say thank you to our fourth day of the month subscribers over at PayPal. So that in particular is thank you to... thank you to Thomas, and thank you to Paul, and thank you to Kim and Mail in New Jersey. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Thanks to our a la carte contributors, whomever they may be this evening, and we hope there will be some, because the fundraising hole is somewhere around $1,270. So that's 4 days of broadcasting. That's today, yesterday, Monday, and Friday, and $70 of Thursday. And that gets us caught up, I hope. And of course, $70 of Thursday and all of Friday are actually the hole we're in from April. And here it is, May. But it's a toasty 81 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. That means, of course, we are well into bikini radio weather. Yay! And, of course, it is also Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And, well, you know, we're probably going to be talking about a lot of things similar to what we were talking about yesterday. Thanks to everyone who participated. Thank you, ladies on the Lido deck of the Titanic. Thanks a bunch. And, you know, I can't stop thinking about this. And apparently neither can the rest of the nation. Quite often, I like to try to find things to talk about that aren't necessarily what everybody else is talking about, but sometimes it's important enough that we should talk about what the rest of the country's talking about. And a full-on attack on the women of this country and everyone in this country who actually loves freedom is a pretty significant topic, don't you think? Yeah. Yeah, so I got to thinking, I can't get over, collect your thoughts. I can't get over how repulsive this all is.
how absolutely hateful this all is. How terrible this all is. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry to be a, you know, a little ray of sunshine, but I don't think there's any getting around it. And this, some of this stuff is bone deep in our culture, such as it is. Had a note from Todd earlier this afternoon, about an hour ago. I'm not sure if you mentioned it on your program, but one of our friendly neighbors at Washington Journal is adamant that rape is the state of mind. Steve in Georgistan might have already alerted you about this. No, he had not. Oh, God, rape is a state of mind. Whose mind? Which state? Jesus. But that business in this leaked opinion, and by the way, going all the way back to, you remember when old Balls and Strikes John Roberts let the Affordable Care Act stand? Well, back then, the Washington, the Wall Street Journal was covering it and apparently was being leaked to out of some, from someone inside the court, saying that old Balls and Strikes was going all squishy and looked like he might be willing to vote with a, create a majority to let the Affordable Care Act stand. So, as usual, right-wing hypocrisy raises its ugly head, because that was somebody from inside the court on the right-wing side of things trying to force John Roberts' hand. And remember, that was one of the most brilliantly evil moves in modern political history, because they let it stand, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, they let it stand, but only as a function of the government's, the Congress's power to tax. So the hope was in summer of 2012, I'm sure, on the part of old Balls and Strikes, that the Republicans would use that as a campaign tactic and be able to defeat then-President Obama on the claim, he raised your taxes! And it might have worked if the Republicans had not nominated Bishop Willard Romney and his binders full of women. You know, that's polite Mormon speak for spank bank. Never mind. But that having been said, this is not the first time that there's been leakage out of the court, contrary to the moanings and groanings and gruntings of the right wing. But I keep going back to that godforsaken opinion. And we've talked on so many occasions about what a fraud so-called originalism is. And it is a giant, screaming, humongous fraud. And so, back on February 10th, 2022, when Justice Sammy Bad Breath Alito, and by the way, I've had a couple of questions in the last 24, why do you call him Sammy Bad Breath? Well, the answer is simple. You cannot spell halitosis without A-L-I-T-O. So that's his name, you know, among the boys when he sits down to play a poker. Hey, Sammy Bad Breath, bring me a sandwich while you're in there. Apparently he plays poker with Bugs Bunny. But, In the second paragraph of this godforsaken nightmare, he writes, as we noted in yesterday's program, well, the first 185... Yeah, for the first 185 years after the adoption of the Constitution, each state was permitted to address this issue in accordance with the views of its citizens. Then in 1973, this court decided Roe v. Wade, even though the... And this is the operative sentence... Even though the Constitution makes no mention of abortion, the court held that it conveys a broad right to obtain one. It did not claim that American law, the common law, had ever recognized such a right, and its survey of history ranged from the constitutionally irrelevant, e.g. its discussion of abortion in antiquity, to the plainly incorrect, e.g. its assertion that abortion was probably never a crime under the common law. Stand by. Sorry about that. Anyway, to go back to all of the ridiculous trash heap, the operative phrase is, even though the Constitution makes no mention of abortion. Well, that got me to thinking about all the other things the Constitution doesn't mention. The Constitution doesn't mention automobiles, airplanes, railroads, telephones, moon rockets, satellites. The Constitution doesn't mention telegraphs, hot air balloons. I mean, hot air balloons were even in existence at the time the Constitution was drafted, but there was nothing in the Constitution about hot air balloons. Therefore, hot air balloons must not be constitutional. But there's something else that doesn't get mentioned in the Constitution. Women. Women are not mentioned in the Constitution. Go look, because I did. I mean, I had a couple of semesters of constitutional law, dealt with the Constitution on a practically daily basis for a significant portion of my life. And just kind of took it for granted because, well, of course, things were a little different then. Things were a lot different then. Oh, and hey, thank you, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thank you for stepping in and capably moderated when I was incapably moderated. Much appreciated. Now, you got name checked by Todd earlier. He wanted to know if you saw in Washington Journal when somebody mentioned that rape is a state of mind. No, but back to my original point. There is no mention of women in the Constitution. Do you know why? Because women had no rights in 1787. The only inference you can make for the existence of women in the Constitution is that they were a subset of the enslaved population who were counted as three-fifths of a human being for legislative apportionment purposes. We do not exist in the Constitution of the United States. Oh, and along the way, by the way, Sammy Bad Breath, in his opinion, cites to a judge who ordered two women burned at the stake, burned alive, for the crime of being witches. Mm-hmm. And I've talked on a number of occasions about Anne Royal, who was convicted of being a common scold in the mid-19th century in the United States in Washington, D.C. Stockton Larry in the chat room's right. Corporations get a mention. They do. At least indirectly. But women? No. And this is the ultimate exposure of originalism for the fraud that it is. It is originalism is a means to an end. And it is so toxic. The only people who were under consideration, with the exception of counting the enslaved population as three-fifths of a human being. So, you know, the way that worked, let's say there were 500 enslaved people whose lives and labor were stolen from them, being stolen from them. Then they would count as 300 people when the population was indexed by census. But women are not in the Constitution. What's in the Constitution is concerns for and the liberty of and the rights of white property-owning men. And to the extent that property is referenced in the Constitution, that again could be construed as a mention of women because women were property. Chattel. Women could not vote. Women could not participate in public life. This is the history of the Constitution that people like Sammy Bad Breath profess to revere. And by the way, because apparently being a man, he doesn't have much understanding of the working of women's bodies. There was abortion. There was abortion in 1787. Women took care of it and didn't tell the men for fear of being, burned alive as a witch. But the Constitution is a document to protect the rights and the liberties and the freedoms and the happiness and the general welfare of white property-owning men. To the extent that it now takes into account the rights of women, of indigenous people, of people of all colors, it is, in fact, a living document. And if you want to make a white winger, if you want to make the Federalist Society just collectively shit its pants, all you have to do is say two words in a room full of the little fuckers: living Constitution. Jesus Christ, they lose their... No, it isn't.
It's as dead as Pharaoh's cat. It's frozen in stone in 1787.
Which is really frightening. Because that means everything from Lochner to Brown versus Board of Education to Loving versus Virginia can be revisited. Even though, of course, Sammy Bad Breath says that, no, it can't because it doesn't involve taking a human life. Neither does abortion. Neither does abortion. So, you know, we've played nicely for so long. And it may be time for that to stop. They've killed our doctors. They've bombed our clinics. They've threatened and harassed and harangued. And we've said things like, well, we'll let the law deal with that. Well, the law is dealing with it. The law is dealing with it. And in this opinion, we see how it's dealing with it. So a question arises. I don't know if they'll ask this question in the for-profit media. Probably not. But I don't ask it sarcastically. I ask this with deadly seriousness. And what I ask is this. What is the difference between Samuel Alito, Ann's boy Neil, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer and passed out high school girls, and that self-hating handmaid? What's the difference between them and a clinic bomber? Again, this is not a rhetorical question. This is not a thought experiment. I've been all day at this. What is the difference? Is it the black robes? Is it the degrees from Harvard and Yale hanging on their fucking walls? What's the difference between these jurisprudential killers and the guy who puts the crosshairs on a doctor's head while he's in church or bombs a women's clinic? What is the difference? Because upon my soul, I cannot find one. Well, maybe there's one difference. A clinic bomber, a Republican, of course, a clinic bomber only kills the people inside the clinic. These five, however, have the potential to kill tens of thousands. Don't they? Isn't that what's going to happen? I ran across a poem. And I want to share it with you. It is a hard poem. It is a brutal poem. It is a heartbreaking poem. I read it today. Someone posted it as a comment under one of my post about women not being mentioned in the Constitution either. And it's a poem by Caitlin Shetler called Poetry for the Times. Give our girls wire hangers with their birthday cakes and poison with their pads. Give them death and illness and poverty, all the church's latest fads. Stamp their bodies with God's label, wrap their wombs in man's control, teach them fairy tales and fables of unborn cells with precious souls. Pretend the gray is absent and Christ is always here. Pretend that law is gallant and there's nothing much to fear. Is life really sacred or just convenient plot for politicians seeking votes from Christians quickly bought? Step one, grab a hanger. Step two, bend it straight. Step three is a banger. Step four, the children hate. Steps 5 to 10 are bloody. Step 11, hold your breath. For 12 steps in a back alley where 14-year-olds seek death. It's all true. It is agonizingly detailed. Ms. Shetler's poem. It needs to be spray painted on the Supreme Court of the United States. But women will die. Girls will die. And though they may evade it and try to use some sort of fancy goddamn lawyer weasel words, those five will be responsible. They will be accessories before the fact. No, hell no, they're not accessories. They are the principals in this crime against a nation. And I am utterly without sympathy. I cannot think, and I don't like it when this happens in my spirit, but I cannot think of anything that would be too awful to happen to Sammy Bad Breath, to Ann's boy Neil, to Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can, Slappy Thomas, and Brat, and the handmaid, the self-hating handmaid. Nothing. But nothing will happen to them. They are insulated. They are protected. And of course, Justice Handmaid, if her owner, husband, decides that it's time to fuck another baby into her, she'll lay back and say, "Yes, dear, I submit as the church submits unto Christ." But here's the sad reality. We are not at all good at talking about sex in this country or reproductive health and what is referred to as feminine hygiene. Well, you know, thank God there are finally some tampon and pad ads out there on TV. Girls probably learn more about the workings of their bodies through fucking television commercials than they do in the public schools of most of this country, which is criminal. I was talking the other day, and I've mentioned it here, about a story from decade or more ago about little girls in Florida who were douching with Mountain Dew, thinking that because it was acidic, that it would keep them from becoming pregnant. Shh, it doesn't. But that's what passes for, you know, learning about sex on the street corner. And you know who learns the least about sex and the consequences of sex? Little Christian girls. Girls like the daughters of, oh, I don't know, the handmaid. And they are taught to fear their sexuality, to despise their sexuality, to hate and loathe their sexuality, and the way their reproductive organs work. Yeah, New Jersey Nick, Ted Cruz's daughters. The handmaid's daughters. You think they're getting anything resembling halfway decent information about how their bodies work? Because they ain't. And all the little girls who are dragged off to purity balls, where their daddies wear tuxes and they wear little prom gowns and wear and put on and share purity rings with their daddies. Disgusting. You remember Rudy Giuliani's son from a few weeks back? Talking about how he inspected his months-old baby girl's genitals and informed her that he was the only man who would ever see that until they were about 25. Well, Giuliani, trust me, that ain't gonna work out that way. I was talking with a dear friend the other day, and she said, you know, I love seeing all these girls I grew up with say, telling, oh, Planned Parenthood is evil. And she said, I can't resist it. She said, I go on their pages and go, bitch, are you kidding me? Do you remember? You drove when we went to Planned Parenthood and got on birth control because we all wanted to have sex with our boyfriends at prom? Yeah. And whether it's the daughter, what? But again, Ted Cruz's daughters will just go to California and maybe shop at Hermes, or Dior, or Chanel. And then just toddle over to the doctor's office and get the little problem taken care of. But the preacher's daughter in Mississippi, Stan, who will be absolutely terrified to tell either mommy or daddy that, well, she missed her period and she peed on the stick thingy and the wrong stripe showed up. Because she is absolutely suffused with horror at the thought of telling them. Or maybe she won't have to tell daddy because daddy's the one who did it. And that's when she learns to bend the coat hanger. And that makes me sick at my soul. And I can't for the very life of me conceive. Oops, sorry. Bad word. For the very life of me, I cannot fathom any loving parent who would ever, ever want to run that risk. But God, these Republican men and women, they aren't running that risk. They're sprinting it. And so that's where we are. And I don't like what it, like I said, I do not like what it's doing to my spirit, to my very loving heart. But it is doing it. And I am furious. And I cannot think of enough slow, painfully, glacially, slow, horrible, awful, disastrous, unbearable things to give me any sense of justice against these revolting, pathetic, failed attempts at human beings, the best part of whom ran down their mama's legs. So so I say all this by way of begging your forgiveness. I like to be rational and reasonable, cool and Apollonian in my analyses. That does not seem to be possible right now. It just doesn't. But somewhere in the midst of all of this madness, there is at least one tiny bright spot. Jesus. Goddamn motorcycle sounds like Marvin Martian's fucking trumpet. Well, we go to Michigan for this one. And Robert Regan. We talked about Robert Regan a few weeks ago. He was talking to the Michigan Rescue Coalition on Facebook Live, talking with somebody named Adam D'Angeli. And they were talking about the big lie. And he Robert Regan, was talking about how he was confident the 2020 election would be overturned. And that's when he told Adam D'Angeli, having three daughters, I tell my daughters, if rape is inevitable, you should just lay back and enjoy it. It was a couple of years ago, just to remind us all, that his very own daughter went public and said, if you're in Michigan and 18 plus, please, for the love of God, do not vote for my dad. Tell everyone. If rape is inevitable, you should just lay back and enjoy it. Because, you know, there's got to be... It's sex, and all women are just absolutely obsessed with sex. And they secretly like it when men are rough. That's this mindset. Well, where's the good news, Robin? Well, this is the good news. He was running for the state house in Lansing there. And yesterday, he lost to Democrat Carol Glanville by about 1,500 votes. And I'm sure Robert Regan's daughter is terribly grateful. Now, of course, he'll probably wind up with a gig on the local Fox station. Because, you know, once your right-wing political career is over, that's where you go. You get a TV gig. It's called Wingnut Welfare. Or maybe a job with some Right to Life Foundation. Because don't think just because this opinion is coming out that, don't think for a minute that the multi-billion dollar fetus fetish industry is going anywhere. Oh, hell no. They're not going to walk away. They're not going to walk away from a racket that pulls in that much money. I have said this for years and years and years. We have watched this country as the right-wing fetus fetish industry, the right-wing industry in general, has picked off state after state after state. First, they came for the easy ones. The Talabamas and the Mississippi stands and the Arkansas stands. The Tennis stands and the South Carolina stands that were already ideologically primed to drink the poison. Then, in the first decade of this century, they upped their game. I remember speaking at Fightin' Bob Fest, and I said, you know, some of y'all up here, and I talked about how much I love being in Wisconsin, because I really did. It's a wonderful place. But I said, some of y'all have asked me why the Koch brothers are coming for Wisconsin. And the short answer, I said, was because making Alabama weirder was not much of a challenge or much fun. They'll do it by themselves. But to come after a place with a history of progressive politics that actually has a name, the Wisconsin Idea, well, that was worth doing. And you know what? They succeeded. And of course, it was easy to take Talibandiana. It was easy to take Missouri Stan. Iowa put up a little bit of a struggle, but the white flag finally, and I'm doing white, eventually went up there, too. Christy Noem in South Dakota gleefully tweeted that she was ready to call a special session of the South Dakota Stan legislature. To protect human lives, she claimed, which is a euphemism for to pass out coat hangers to 14-year-olds. And so, I know many of you think it can't happen, but it can. And so, more and more states like Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, find themselves isolated, cut off. And so too to California and Oregon and Washington. Illinois is almost completely surrounded, save for the Canadian border. Minnesota is completely surrounded. And this might be a time to remind that the most revered and sought-after military strategic outcome is something that's called encirclement. You know, kind of like the poor souls in that steel mill in Mariupol. No way out. And encirclement is taking place. And so all along, the goal was to, you know, let California go for a little while. When we've got them completely, encircled, we'll just pull the knot tight, and that'll be that. Right? Precisely. We're here. May not want to be here, may not like to be here, but we're here. And here is a horrifying place to be. One more step. Good afternoon, Robin, says Don in British Columbia. There are no other medical issues mentioned in your constitution, no knee or hip replacement, etc. To me, it's not a medical thing. It's a privacy thing. No one but me and my doctor know about my medical issues, and now one has a right, and no one has a right to either. Common sense, Don. Common sense. But the fact of the matter is, from time immemorial, men have been making decisions about women's bodies. And for a brief shining moment, women had the right to make the decisions about their bodies, but the men, the right-wing men, the Republican men, the conservative men, the disgusting men, never gave up. Because somehow it makes their thingies sad or something. I don't know. Maybe right-wing men can't get it up unless they're, you know, being all butch and dominant. Who knows? Jack in Shreveport says, wounds to the spirit. I like listening to Malloy go off on the fuckers, and I think it's time we give ourselves some room to be human and express our feelings in more colorful language. I still have problems applying the word evil to people because it sounds supernatural to me, but these assholes really are extremely dangerous, and what they do really does cause immeasurable misery and harm and death, long, physically and emotionally painful death. And, you know, if I picked up the paper and read that something awful had happened to the handmaid, I could look at the headline and stare at it for hours, and not a single sad emotion would enter my body or my mind or my spirit. If Slappy Thomas was to choke to death on an errant pube on a Coke can, well, I'd just call that justice. Jack adds, Alito and the Coat Hanger Coalition. On the not in the Constitution bullshit, isn't Alito one of the religious folks that would tout that all of rights come from God and one of those who would conflate the Declaration with the Constitution? He probably wouldn't do the latter because he's got a really highfalutin legal education. Yet it sounds to me like he's saying we have no unalienable rights, even if supposedly given by God, and I guess the fact that no rights exist unless they're specifically written into the Constitution implies that there are no unalienable rights, period. And yet it wasn't that long back, Jack. Oops, sorry. It wasn't that long back when all, you know, back during the days of the teabaggers, when they were barking and grunting and hooting and howling about the Ninth Amendment. The one that says all rights not herein enumerated are not, well, shit, what's the official language? I got it right here. I was looking at it earlier. Yeah, there it is. Angelo reminded me of the Ninth Amendment earlier today. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage of others retained by the people. Well, see, once again, by the people, people is a term of art in 1787. People means white property-owning men. And if the people doesn't include women, well, women cannot have a non-enumerated right. They can, and women cannot retain any rights unto themselves. Jesus, originalist think is disgusting. Disgusting, but unfortunately holds sway. A suggestion for Trumpers, says Tom in sunny San Rafael. Perhaps if the election thieves could realize that Trump lost, they should just lie back and enjoy the next 4 years. Oh, well played, Tom. Well played indeed. So now, coming up in November, good God, it's only 6 months away. Coming up in November, we will find out just how many self-hating women and misogynistic men there are in this country. Because this will be a referendum on precisely that topic. This hateful opinion will be out by then. I remain convinced that the analysis that it was put out there to harden those five misogynistic freaks in their position. Yeah, as my friend Pete put it earlier today, they'll clean up that citation to the judge who ordered two women burned alive or executed. Maybe he had them hanged. They'll tidy that up because that'll be, well, that would be inconvenient. This thing's coming out. And whether we bow down to it and submit as the church submits unto Christ, well, that's the real question, isn't it? Yeah. It is. It is. And the answer, frankly, terrifies me. What do you think? Tell me. I'd love to hear some more women's voices. I'd love to hear the voices of people who are not heard very often on this program. Interesting times, says Matt in San Francisco. John F. Kennedy. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Matt says, and I agree with him, I really think these white wingers want blood in the streets. They think Armageddon is a good thing. Yeah, Jesus will come back. Never mind the fact that they will kill him deader than Pharaoh's cat. You know, brown, little short, squatty, curly-headed, brown-skinned man wearing a dress and sandals. He won't last a minute. Oh, I hadn't seen that, Timo. Rumor that stupid insurrectionist Jenny Thomas caused the leak to distract from the January 6th inquiry. That is not unbelievable. Not unbelievable at all. But there are so many possible suspects. And like I said, we know that some right-winger inside the court has been leaking to outfits like the Wall Street Journal for literally a decade, for 10 years. Wow. Oh, and by the way, a little something happened in Ohio last night. J.D. Mandel won the primary. Yep. And, of course, the maggots are absolutely beside themselves with maggoty joy. They see it as proof that Nitwit Nero still has coattails. And it didn't matter how much J.D. Vance. It didn't matter how much Josh Mandel tried to fillet Donald Trump. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. No. Oh, and let's check in with the senior senator from almost level West by Coal Manchinistan. Once, now that Susan Collins has come out, probably a bad phrase, has announced that if Brett Kavanaugh really is voting this way in this case, that it felt like maybe he hadn't told her the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when they met in her office. Well, you have to remember, and I meant to mention this last night. I don't think I did. You know who Susan Collins' enabler was, don't you? Right. Joe Manchin. He provided cover to her, and she provided cover to him to vote to confirm a credibly accused rapist in Brett Kavanaugh. And recall that Susan Collins said, "When I met with Justice Kavanaugh before his confirmation hearings, he looked me in the eye and said he considered Roe v. Wade the law of the land. Nothing in his confirmation hearings suggested he would ever be less than trustworthy with a woman." Oh, sister, were you even paying attention? I mean, were you? Did you catch the hissy that he threw? Crying and screaming about how he loves beer? Oh, for fuck's sake! God, that woman must be dumber than a handful of the bag of hammer handles. Yes, there's a phrase from the dim and distant past. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, Susan Collins is, you listening, Reverbo? Well chumped. Yeah. So anyway, Manu Raju over at CNN has reported that now Senator Joe Manchin is wondering if he got lied to, too. He, in his sweet, milky voice, said, "We're going back through all the things we have. We had meetings with him to find out what he said and how it was actually presented to us." Oh, really, Joe? Your memory's that bad? You can't remember that he sat there and lied to your face? Or maybe he sat there and told you the fucking truth, and you, member of West Virginians for Life, who never used to miss a goddamn fetus fetish bean dinner? Maybe you wanted this outcome. Own it, Joe! Own it! Sorry. Now he's going to look over things. But, you know, maybe Brett can send him a mash note about how much he loves coal, and Joe will be okay. These people. Ron in Raleigh says, is perjury still a crime? I watched a montage of all the right-wing Supreme Court justices saying that Roe versus Wade was established precedent in the leaked opinion written by Sammy the Fish, where he states that Roe was egregiously wrongly decided. I don't think this lying fuck just changed his mind, so he was obviously lying when he said Roe was the law of the land. Shouldn't this bastard and the rest of his fellow travelers be impeached for lying during their confirmations? No ethics rules for this group of swine and sow. None! And yes, they should. Lying under oath is... lying to Congress under oath is a crime. They should be charged. They should be impeached. They should be hailed into the criminal court of the United States of America, tried and convicted, and then removed from office via the impeachment process. Is it possible they've overreached? I don't know. Girl can dream. Hey, let's go to the stress line. Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Lady B, and that last word is spelled B-E, so how you be?
I be good, Lady B. How be you?
I be aight.
Yeah, I'm kind of lying. I was actually caught up in the euphoria of you calling in, so.
Oh, I'm excited, too. I can't spend very long, because I'm headed on my way to work. But I had, you know how I'm always sending you misses, and sometimes they're off the mark, and sometimes they are.
You're pretty well on the mark, most of it. I'd say you've got about a 99% on the mark, Mark.
Oh, honey, I know. It's awful. But I do want to thank you for helping me temper my rage against white people, because even though I am speaking to a white gentleman, sometimes I do get angry. And when you told that story about John Brown, I'd heard of him, but I had no idea, especially about the part where he bent down and kissed a little black child's head. I thought, wow, okay, he was committed. He was real. And there are good white people out there. Of course there are. And I'm not some radical, Angela, I can't remember her last name, wearing Afro
Davis. Angela Davis.
Angela Davis. Yeah, I'm not that, but sometimes I just get angry, And being a writer, it can be a good outlet, but sometimes it isn't. Because then you put that on paper. If you keep it to yourself, then you're cool. You email it, then everybody's got it. So that's the problem.
Well, I'm glad you do.
And
frankly, I mean, if I can just share for a second, I don't think I've stopped shaking since the news broke Monday night. Maybe some people will find it jarring that it can be this upsetting to me, but I've embraced my womanhood completely and totally.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. God, it hurts. And it is so infuriating. And maybe part of my fury is the fact that I recognize that, I experienced all the privilege, no less trans for doing it, but I experienced all the privilege that comes with being white and male in this country. And it kind of makes me sick.
Yeah.
That's
gotta be pretty deep. I mean, which again reminds me of John Brown. Somebody could feel the pain of human beings. And he could have just easily opted to just, he may not have been among the rich white landowners, but he certainly could have just, And I think what makes this Supreme Court decision extra important is the fact that nobody, male, female, white, black, nobody should feel comfortable with it. Nobody. Because, if you say the world is 50-50, 50 female, 50 male, or whatever you want to say, then 50% of the population is being oppressed. And that's wives, that's daughters, that's nieces, that's, cousins, that's friends, listeners. I mean, that's a significant number of people that, they're telling us, we can't you know, I don't have a uterus anymore. Unfortunately, I had to have a hysterectomy. My uterus wanted to carry fibroids more than it did babies. But, you know, I mean, I did do birth control. I did all of those things. It's just astounding. And then being a black female, like you said, and then like I said, my friend, I don't want to go into detail. I don't want to go into detail. But, you know, misogyny, you know, interracial marriage, all of that. I mean, that should set up alarm bells for anybody, because they can. And every time we think they won't go that far, this will never happen, this will never happen, it does, because they have control. So those five or six people sitting on the Supreme Court, you know, John Roberts, whatever, actually believe that they are in the right. And their cabal or their cult or whatever it is, it's just absolutely baffling. These people are like, it's almost satanic. I mean, you know, people think Satan is bad. These people are Satan, because they honestly believe that everything that they believe is right. And if you go back to the Constitution, like you said, women didn't have rights. So if you start talking about a strict interpretation of the Constitution, I'm like, who for? Samuel Alito is I take it he's Italian. Italians weren't even treated like white people for a while, you know, until they got folded into that, you know, because they needed more votes. So why not? You know, so people like that, you know, self-hating Jews, self-hating women, self-hating. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable that somebody would feel that way. And just think that my, you know, my beliefs and my, you know, personal preferences should be everybody's. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Don't fuck with a woman's rights. Because if you do that, if you take away abortion, it could be anything else. It could be anything else. And it will be. It will be. But I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Ron?
Well, I was going to, and this is not rhetorical. This, you know, you talk about all the self-hating. Where it has to be taught. I don't think you're born with a propensity to despise yourself. Where does it come from?
My mother was born in 1925, like yours, this year, share a birthday, March 31st. She had my oldest sister who was 79. I'm 53 and my oldest sibling is 79. No. She had her in 1943. And back then, she went to an all-black school. She was in Arkansas. And they used to have to send the pregnant girls around to the back to pick up their homework. God, even in the 80s, I was in high school. It was like, if you were pregnant, you're going to disappear. When you started showing, you disappeared. I don't even know how they handle it nowadays. But I know that, you know, in the 80s, no, you didn't see pregnant girls. You might have heard rumors, but you did not see pregnant girls in school. But anyway, my grandmother, and she died when I was 14, and that was 1982. She was in her 80s. She held that against my mother for the rest of my mom's life. And my mom went on to marry three times, and she had nine children told with two miscarriages. She lost a son at 18 months, and I think that's when mom lost it and never quite came back, you know. But my grandmother and my aunt were, my aunt Rena, she was a bitch. You know, my grandmother, she was kind of mean, you know, but I was so young, I didn't, you know. But my aunt Rena hated my mother, and she was a good God-fearing Christian. She had a husband and her kids, and but she was always, in, you know, she just despised my mother. My mother was a slut. My mother was everything but a child of God. And my mother kind of passed that down to us. The whole thing about learning about sex and your period and all of that, my mom was just in the woods. She just did not. And it sounds crazy. She wasn't dumb. She liked to read, all of that. But she had been so picked on. And, you know, mom was 17 when she had my older sister. So it was like, she just received so much shit, and she did pass it down. You know, she'd give us pamphlets about keeping your virginity. I mean, there was literally shit in there about sitting on toilets. So I get that, too. You know, women, we only know what we know. And it was just, you know, I just got to say, it's hard. It's harsh. And all of these kids that are growing up in religious households who are dealing with this, my God. You know, some of them are almost guaranteed.
Does your heart just not break for them?
Yeah, because I know. I mean, it wasn't as bad. You know, the religious aspect wasn't as bad. We did go to church, but, you know, it wasn't as, but there was some screwed up stuff. And then I told you, of course, there was some abuse in the family. It wasn't my dad, thank God, but all of us girls. And, well, my brothers are dead, so I might as well say it was my brothers. So, you know, you're dealing with all of these things.
Same.
And, oh, my God, Robin, it just took so long to get over it. It just, you know, just growing up confused and everything, getting in relationships wrong for me and not knowing what I wanted. But I know what I want with this one. So, anyway, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to go with it. Let it grow. But I did want to, there was something I sent you. You hadn't mentioned it, and that's okay, because I can talk about it. But I wanted your listeners to hear this. I'm actually going to pull over. I had sent you this email about a woman named Jerry Stravano, I think. Did you see that one? You remember getting
no,
that email?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I'll read you the email.
If I see your name, it gets red. But I don't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. I missed one.
Yeah. That's all right. This one was kind of graphic. I started it out. I had to click on a disclaimer. Is it okay if I read it? I guess so, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I had to click on a disclaimer, stating that the image I posted below was graphic and that I was at least 18 years old. I don't remember when I first saw this image. It might have been a couple of years ago, but I thought of it yesterday. Anyway, there's a picture of this woman, and she is lying naked. You see her from the backside. She's kind of a large woman, you know, maybe a 16, 18, I don't know. And her knees are tucked under her. And there's blood just issue from her coming out of her bottom, coming out of her vagina. Ugh. And it was a released photo. It was taken in 1966, I think, and they released it in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was being argued. So I said, her name was Jerry Santoro. She was the victim of a botched abortion. And this is how the police found her, naked and dead in a motel room, and she died alone. I don't have Twitter, and I shut down my Facebook account years ago. I despise both. And I was going to ask you to post it on your Twitter, but I wasn't sure if you could. I figured that between Facebook allowing people to post beheadings and Twitter allowing hate speech, there shouldn't be any problem. But I think they would object to this because it doesn't fit.
Oh, I have no doubt. I would be in Twitter and Facebook jail before I could say Zucker dweeb.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I used to drive past the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs and see protesters holding up pictures of what they say were dead fetuses. They didn't care if you had children in the car. It was tacky and awful. Then they started killing clinic doctors. We had a shooting that killed three people here maybe about 10 years ago or so. Do you remember that gentleman?
I do.
He's still going off the insanity defense. So, you know, maybe this will kind of speed up that process now with everything going on. Maybe people will wise up and realize that it doesn't matter if he's insane or not. He needs to be put away forever. Because you don't go take the lives of three other people just because you didn't like what they were doing with their personal lives and making a personal choice. Anyway. By then, the clinic had moved away from the main street, and they were on the, they were at their new location when he purposely drove out of his way to go to the clinic and do this. And that's what I mentioned. You deliberately had to go out of your way to get there. But the protesters are still out there. They're further away than the mandated 200 feet on the street corner, but they're there. You can't scare people if you can't be seen. It's like they have nothing better to do with their time. And by the way, I have to compliment you on your delivery. My God, you read my email so well, and I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, anyway, thank you. I try to do them justice.
You do. I mean, well, and you know, if you've done voice work, you know, you kind of get that. You got to get right there next to the perfect nuance, the perfect inflection, which words to fit, you know. Anyway. Like people who can get pregnant, I went to Planned Parenthood to get birth control and then later mammogram. I accompanied my sister and my niece when we took her to have an abortion. It was hard, but it would have been harder for my niece to have that baby. She still lived at home and the father was married. If a person ever asks me why you're pro-choice, I suppose you could get on Mobius pick and show it to them. But that would be tacky and grossly unfair to Jerry's memory. Yet in a strange way, it would honor her. It serves as a warning to people who think abortion rights, hell, a woman's rights, don't matter. I don't think she or her family ever thought her death would be so tragic and undignified. It served a vital purpose, one important enough to drive a movement that led to a law. Now that law is effectively being reversed. Despite that, I will never say she died in vain. Say it with me. Jerry Santoro did not die in vain. Like many things in America, I wonder how long the outrage will last, when people will start to get bored or complacent. And we will. This is America. There are more positive things to focus on, like the animals, the funny things on Facebook. But soon there will be a lot more victims like Jerry Santoro. That's how reality works. Everything else is just good and services. And I, with the picture photo and it was the Salon article, but you can also look her up on Wikipedia. Last name is spelled Santoro. First name is Gerri, Jerry Santoro. And it's a horrifying picture. Not in the sense of like it's horrifying because of why she died, how she died, you know. You know, she was 28. And, she went to get an illegal abortion. And that's how the cops found us. And so, honestly, you know, Robin, it's a big deal. And people think they don't care. And there are some people who probably are pro-life who listen to them. That's fine. But I think that George Carlin, they brought that up the other day. My friend and I were watching, Stephen Colbert last night. No, not Stephen Colbert. Somebody said something I was reading, but they were posting it on Twitter, the little short clip of George Carlin talking about once a baby is born, then fuck you. Okay. You know, they only care about the fetus. Yeah, yeah. They don't care about that, you know, so whatever. And it's true. And I've been making that argument for years. You're not going to wipe that kid's name. You're not going to go through labor. You know, my sister's, my best friend and my sister both went through 30 hours of labor. If you get in there and it's too late to give you epidural, you're not going to get it. So you're going to go through that pain. And a lot of women, I'll tell you, I've never been in labor, obviously. I've never had a kid. But some women, and my sister is one of them, was so traumatized that she chose not to have any more. And some women do fine because once you have the baby, supposedly all of that goes away. And the endorphins kick in, and you're just proud to have this little human being. And I love my niece. She's absolutely incredible. She had to have a hysterectomy. She's 37 because her IUD broke. But she has two beautiful girls who are the love of my life. So she's got her babies, and she's okay. But there's so many things that a woman goes through. That's 9 months of your body transforming, your mentality transforming. You're carrying another human being. You know, and every step you take, every move you make, everything you eat, everything, you know, you're concerned, you're thinking about it. And it's something that, yes, men share in that joy. Men can be fathers. They're great fathers. My dad is a great father. he wasn't home. He was in the military. He was doing a lot of stuff. One of my brothers were sneaking in our bedroom tonight. But when he was older, he talked to us, and he found out what went on, and he apologized for not being there. And, you know, he's a good man. But as I was saying, in terms of men being fathers, you can be fathers. You are a woman, but you fathered. You understand that.
I do.
You know how
I do. I do.
You're a parent. You're a parent. Let's say you're a parent, okay?
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's not a man's body. Their mentality changes, their emotions change, but their body doesn't change. And they don't become responsible for that baby. And when a woman has a baby, or people who can have babies, that's life. That's lifelong. It's not just 18 years old. It's waking up and is my child okay? You know, like a dad would. But there's a more intimate connection. And I think that's why when we talk about abortion, you have to understand that if it's not your body, then how can you know? No woman goes into a clinic and, hey, you know, I got one night stand about 7 weeks ago, and, you know, I'm just not feeling it. I didn't like him anyway. No. 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 My niece, the bloody chunk came out of her body 3 days later. You know, I think they gave her the pill. They gave her the, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's all kinds of things going on there. There's all kinds of things going on there, man. You know, and it seems unfair to say that, but it's like you wouldn't understand until you've been there that you're responsible for this human being for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. My mother never forgot my brother Chuck. He was 18 months old. And then when my other brother died, my other brother Roy, he was 31. And then my last brother died actually 3 months after my mother did. He died of a drug overdose. He was 57. So, and the only thing I can say is thank God it was after she died. Because it just would have absolutely, she had already had dementia. And sometimes dementia can be good if it makes you forget terrible things. None of my brothers are alive. It's just us girls. And, my sisters had children, and their children had children, and their children had children. So I have a lot of nieces and nephews. I think I sent you an email with at least 7 of them that are like in between the ages of 26 and 30, 35. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the grown ones. And then there's the boys, and then there's the little boys. So I have a big family. But, yeah, that's going to affect them. Absolutely. It's absolutely going to affect my nieces. It's going to affect their husbands and their boyfriends.
Well, you know, there's one thing to mention, and you know, usually the thing with right wing conservatives is they profess this religious devotion, but in the end, their God is Mammon. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, when you were talking about
the fact of the matter is. Somebody needs to tell these Bible thumping fiscal conservatives that child support for men starts at about 25% of their income and goes up.
Yeah.
They might actually listen to that.
And the whole thing, I suppose if you look at it from the whole biblical and physical strength sense or whatever. You know, men were stronger. Men, you know, they went out and hunted and they brought fire back to the camp. But, you know, but if it wasn't for the woman, you know, they were equal roles in that. And whoever thought, okay, first of all, we're going to make women work, you know, and now it's mandatory. You don't have many stay-at-home moms.
No.
You know, because you have to work. You can't have... And then there are some women just for self-actualization, just for self-fulfillment, want to work because we're not dumb, you know. Raising, there's nothing wrong with raising children, staying home and raising children. It's a noble, decent, you know, it's everything good and godly about this world. You know, but it's just baffling to me that, you know, that men would get paid more than women. So whatever, but anyway,
well, that was one of the great reasons for bringing women into the workplace. You could pay them less and work them twice as hard.
And I said, we have soft jobs. We've got the pink collar jobs. I've worked in call centers. That's definitely not hard work. Well, then why aren't you doing it? Well, it's not manly enough. And there's guys who work in call centers, but you know. But when you talked about the Republicans, that whole mentality of why are they so hell bent on destroying this country? Why are they so focused? You know, and again, visiting going back to the women's issue, it's a woman's body and it's her choice, and if there is a married woman going out and who's in a decent relationship, who has a husband who wants that kid and she still wants an abortion, then that means there are other factors. Some women can be bitches. I'm sure of it. But again, once you get into that clinic, there's no reason to be bitchy about it. There's no revenge. There should be no revenge. It's serious. And it's deep. It's existential. And so that's why it comes back to that. And I think somebody had mentioned, might have been one of the metaphysical books I read, that was the men's biggest fear, was that a woman did have so much power. And that's why she needs to be subjugated and oppressed.
Yes.
Because it's a very, very powerful thing to be able to bring
I personally think it goes all the way back to the earliest days of humanness. You know, wherever that boundary is, where we stop being brute animals who exist solely on instinct and begin to act, you know, Homo sapiens, you know, the thinking hominid.
Yeah.
It probably does go that far back. It goes back to males not understanding where babies come from and being. I mean, look, the entire the first five books of the Old Testament are nothing but repeated screeds of God. Women are gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it being prayer meeting Wednesday, and I know your time is short, but I just love our conversation.
Yeah.
I planned this evening to make mention of this because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. You know, in Genesis, we talk about the 12 sons of Israel. You know, that's what he changed his name to when he went on the lamb. And no, Jacob, never heard of him. My name's Israel. he's a few leagues back there. You might want to start marching now. It's a long time. It's a long way. But only once in that account is it mentioned that he also had a little girl.
Wow.
And her name was Dina.
Wow.
Her name was Dina.
D-I-N-A. He bothered to name her because...
Yeah.
It seems to me like the Bible is just so anti-woman in a sense that, I had a girl, but whatever. You know, I've got six kids. I've got four shots. You know, it's like, okay, what about the other two?
There are 12 boys by several different women, but there's one, there's one precious little girl and her name is Dina, D-I-N-A-H. She gets mentioned one time. Because she was bartered away and sold in exchange for some, you know, chickens and camels and goats and gold and sheep and no pigs. But she was bartered away, and then she was used as the pretext by which the sons of Israel went in and slaughtered every man in the town. And she disappears from the Bible and from history and from mythology forever. Until late in the 20th century, when a brilliant writer when a brilliant writer wrote an imagined history of Dina called The Red Tent. And she took it upon herself to imagine the life of that little girl with 12 brothers. And it is worth a read. Oh, my God. It is one of the most moving and profound pieces of historical fiction that I've ever read. And it goes birth to death.
And that's all I like about you, Robin. Yeah. No, I was going to say, for your listeners, for all the listeners, I don't know if you profess to be an atheist or whatever, and everybody always has negative connotations, but every atheist I've ever met knows the Bible. You have to. Because how can you be against something that you don't know about? You know, how can you, I wouldn't say be against, but how could you, you know, it's going, you need to, it's just a book written by a bunch of guys. And some of the messages are profound, some of them are moving, some of them are helpful, some of them have changed people's lives. There's been religion in my life, religion in your life. There are good things about it, and then there are terrible things. But, you know, like I said, when I hear you quote the Bible, it's like, yeah, I can see why she feels the way she does, because, yeah, there's a lot of, we don't know. We didn't live during that time. We weren't Jewish. You know, we have no idea. And, yeah, like you said, women were a mystery. Women were like lightning or, you know, fire, or, you know, we would just, we don't know how they do it, excuse me, but they do it. You know, we have sex with them, and then 9 months later, they produce a human being. And in between time, they bleed.
And you know who was better at this than anybody else I've ever read? Mark Twain. Mark Twain.
Oh.
The Diary of Adam and Eve. When Adam shows up one day and he says, "There's this. She's got this little animal with her, and she seems terribly, terribly attached to it. I keep telling her it's a bear cub, and she needs to take it back into the woods and leave it so that." And then the water comes out of her eyes again.
Wow.
And then
all we learned about was Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. See.
Yeah, if you can find it for free on the internet, you will laugh. Oh my God, it's the funniest thing! And then by the end of it, you're bawling because it's just so damn beautiful. And the thing about the Red Tent, the reason it's called the Red Tent is because that's where all the women folk were sent to go and do their monthly bleedings because they were unclean.
Yep, that's what I thought. Every time I hear, you know, because I clean buildings, every time I hear one of the, there was a guy I talked to who used to do clean bathrooms, but he was like, the women's bathrooms were the worst. They were the worst. And I can't help but think it's probably because he had to empty the tampon disposal, you know, disposal thing. So, you know, but whatever. I'm going to need to wrap this up, but yes, I wanted to get that out about Jerry Serrano and, also, you said Bill won the Meat Skull, and I said, okay, fine.
Thank you. I conjured you.
But this is more than just everybody loves the fetus and hates the child. And when my parents divorced, because my mom had issues, and daddy was a black male, he got out of the military and was an engineer in the military. When he got to Colorado Springs, where he retired out of Fort Carson after 20 years, nobody could seem to find room for black engineers. And nowadays we make a really big deal, and I'm glad in a sense, but it's also kind of frustrating that we employ military guys here a lot. Military guys basically kind of get first choice when it comes to jobs. And that's good for the city, the state, the county, and other jobs because they got free training. These guys were trained for free. So naturally, if they want a job in their profession, in the military, they're going to be hired first. That wasn't the case in the 70s with my dad. So they divorced when me and my twin were 8. And it was a struggle. It was. They fought. You know, he was trying to find decent work. She was dealing with her own issues. And it was a struggle. You know, so, you know, there was a lot of things. So then there's that whole thing, being a woman, I just accept it. It's what I am. For you, it's what you've always were supposed to be. I am cisgender. I don't, thank goodness I'm not, you know, I just dealt with it.
I have to take a moment and say thank you for getting that so right, because so many people don't. It's not becoming, or it's not want to be. It is who I have always been.
Yeah.
And you got it right.
Oh, yeah.
You got it right out of the gate.
To be fair, Robin, to be honest, to be deeply honest, baby, if you did what you did to get to where you needed to be your authentic self, then you definitely, that was you. You know, and I can only imagine, especially in our age group, going through that, your life, knowing and having to suppress it and hide it and deal with it, that's got to be very difficult. I don't think that's anything anybody, all these people talking about what transgender people need to do and be and what's wrong with them. And it's like, I don't think you can make a decision like that and not have some serious thought and contemplation and emotion behind it. It is what it is. You are who you are. So and people need to deal with it, but they hate you. They hate you. They hate it.
Yeah.
They hate it, you know. I got to wrap it up, but I know, and I hate here I go dipping into shit, but they were talking about Dave Chappelle recently. It was another Will Smith incident. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's losing their shit. But he was speaking about transgender people, and he was saying disparaging comments. And I will have to say that for a lot of people, not just men, there are women too, that is kind of hard to accept. They can't imagine, especially a guy, because if your penis is the all most important thing in the world, and a lot of people think it is, you know, to part with that, you know, so there are some people who can't reconcile themselves with that. And that shouldn't be what it's boiled down to, but it is. For a lot of people, that's what it boils down to, Robin. So you kind of got to I'm not saying you should understand it or accept it, but it's kind of just there. But for a lot of people, they just, they can't accept that. And it's like, but on the other hand, it's like, well, look at Robin and then say, well, okay, but this is who she is. And so if she was willing to do what she needed to do to part with that almighty tool, you know, or whatever part, then if anything, you should respect that, because it was a big, huge decision. And it changed your life, and it changed the lives of everybody you know, because now they're dealing with a person who is fulfilled and happier and has a spring in her step because she's finally getting to live the life she wants. So I wish you well. I hope that you got the email I sent you. It started out with this happy song, or, you know,
yes, I'm making a playlist out of it.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, my God. It would have been better. Because it was going to get better. I was going to go into all kinds of stuff there. You know, I was going to put some Bachman Turner on there. I was going to do everything. I was like, let me stop. Because, you know. But the ballad of John and Yoko, I mean, when was the last time you heard that?
Christ, so, you anyway. Know it ain't all easy.
Right. You know it ain't easy. You know there's something missing. Yeah, whatever. They're going to crucify you. Anyway. All right, Robin. Y'all take care and, you know, try to, it is serious in these issues. Hopefully there can be some levity, though. Hopefully there'll be moments.
There has to be. There absolutely has to be, because while you were talking, I looked up, oh, my God, I looked up Jerry Santoro, and the mic was, fortunately, I muted the mic because I was bawling. It was spontaneous.
Isn't it awful? That wasn't a murder. It was a murder because it was botched. But that's, if you look at that photo and you still are anti-abortion or anti-choice, I should say, because it's a fucking choice. Because like I said, you're not raising that kid. You're not committing a lifetime to that kid. You don't know those children. You don't know these people. Those people with those fucking signs. You know, they don't know what that woman is going through, what her family is going through. They don't know. They don't have to raise it. They don't have to deal with anything. They don't have to deal with autism. They don't have to deal with Down syndrome. They don't have to deal with anything that may be wrong. None of it. And yet they think it's their business. And it's none their business. It's none their business. It's none of their business. It's none of their business. If you're not going to raise it, you know, you want to cut social security, you want to cut food stamps, you want to cut welfare, you want to do all of that bullshit. But yet you want to sit there and tell somebody what she needs to do? Get it straight. Get it straight. Get it right. If we're going to start having kids, that means we got to start contributing to these social programs. That means we've got to up the food stamps. We've got to do the TANF. We've got to do it all. Because if this is what America wants, then this is what they need to do. But women have been getting abortions since time out of mind. Women have been doing this shit since time out of mind. And we need to accept it. We were just making it, you know, cleaner and safer and legal. But now we're going to go back to the same bullshit. I got to go.
I understand.
Love you. Love everybody. You guys
love
take
you.
Care, okay? All right, I got to get in here.
Be good.
Okay.
Be safe.
All right, I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Wow. What a conversation. Thank you, Lady B. I cannot thank you enough. That was profound. Thank you. And so it being prayer meeting Wednesday. Looks like things are not going so swimmingly between the Russian Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, they never really have, at least not since the big schism, back in, what, the 11th century BC or CE? Apparently, Pope Frank decided to get a little frank. See what I did there? Don't try this at home. In an interview with the Corriere della Sera, in Italy, the Evening Sun, basically the courier of the sun of the Evening Courier. There we go, the Evening Courier. Close enough, Flavio. The Evening Courier, and Pope Frank told the Corriere della Sera about a conversation he had with the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, which. Sounds like something that maybe, I don't know, a great blue whale eats or something. Krill? Krill? Are they like sea monkeys? Never mind. And I guess when you're the Pope at Rome, you know, you pick up the phone and you call the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church and you say, hey, how's it hanging? And, you know, that kind of thing. And so at some point, Pope Frank said to the patriarch, a patriarch can't lower himself to become Putin's altar boy. Oh, meow. Nya, nya. That one left a mark. Of course, there's a little something about maybe Pope shouldn't be mentioning being somebody's altar boy. Might not have been the best look, Frank. And the Russian Orthodox Church, they didn't take too kindly to it, responding, Pope Francis chose an incorrect tone to convey the content of this conversation. Such statements are unlikely to contribute to the establishment of a constructive dialogue between Roman Catholic and Russian Orthodox churches, which is especially necessary at the present time. Well, the problem is the Russian Orthodox Church is nothing but a wholly owned subsidiary of Putin, Inc. He props up the church props up him, and everybody goes home happy, except the women having the living goddamn daylights raped out of them by the Russian rape army. Oh, well. But good on you, Pope Frank, I guess. Good on you. Matt in San Francisco said, I really hate these people. My sister, who passed a few years ago from pancreatic cancer, and I were very close. We shared each other's pain and joy as we found our way through life. She had 6 abortions in her life. She, like I, struggled with addiction. Her drug of choice was heroin, mine was crank, and everything else I could get my hands on. One of her abortions was from an ectopic pregnancy. Without access to abortion, she would have been dead and never been able to find sobriety and enjoy a sober life for many, many years. These people don't care about women. They just don't care. They're so tied up in their bullshit religion, and they want the rest of us to fall in line. To them, I say never. Never forget. Never again. Never means never. Fuck them and feed them catfish. If anyone thinks they won't come for you next, it's going to be a hell of a bet to lose. Matt knows what's on the line. I know what's on the line. Every member, I hope, of the LGBTQQIA+ community damned well knows what's on the line. We're on the line. There's an old saying out there, if you're not at the table, you're on it. If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Honey, we are all on the menu. And our allies are on the menu. They would love nothing more, these godforsaken right-wing pieces of shit, than to silence every voice of dissent from sea to oily sea. In fact, they are committed to it. And they will not be happy until we're all marching in line, you know, if we're white and cis and hetero and male, goose-stepping in line, singing America über alles at the tops of their voices. Lady B's right. No one's safe. No one. I wonder what's going to happen when the handmaid's daughter has an ectopic pregnancy. Off to Canada. You know, just like, oh, I don't know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, went off to Canada after his patriotic neighbor tried to explain the ways of the world to him. Off to Canada. Yeah. But the thing is, ectopic pregnancies require swift action. From diagnosis to dealing with it, the space in between can be filled with internal bleeding and death. I wonder if the handmaid's daughters know the risk that she is willing to put them through, because there will be no exception for rape. There will be no exception for the uncle daddy pregnancies. There will be no exception for ectopic pregnancies, because remember, Republican white men think you can harvest that fertilized ovum out of the fallopian tubes and just, I don't know, put a little nail glue on it or something and just pop it into the uterine lining. And then 9 months later, there's a precious baby. You know, there are faith traditions out there like, if I understand it correctly, like Wicca, that says that what you unjustly, wish upon someone else can come back to bite you so much worse. And what Lady B said about not knowing what my faith is, or whether I'm an atheist or an agnostic or what, that's kind of like my sexuality. I don't know. But I know that I don't want anything to do with a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky and his revenge fantasies. I don't want anything to do with a deity that would order his people to slaughter everyone in a community except for the virgin girls, and that they be given over to the priests to rape. That's in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of sexy time in the Bible. You know, Lot's daughters don't even merit names. And Lot gets a pass for not being able to stay sober long enough to keep his daughters from involuntarily fucking him while he's passed out. And Lot was a righteous man. Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. If you were to walk into, say, a Republican state legislature that's all awash in this mania for book banning and book burning, and say, you know, I was in my grandkids' school the other day, and I noticed they got a book in there. They got a book in there about girls having sex with their daddy while he's passed out drunk and getting pregnant by him. That book needs to go away. That book needs to never get near a schoolhouse door again. God, can't you just see the fucking maggots hopping up and down and flapping their monkey bat wings and screeching and howling about their family values until get rid of that book. That book's got to go. Until you tell them, I'm glad you agree, because it's your Bible. And then watch them cry and piss and moan and blame you. Yeah. Randy Radar says, I think it's called the rule of three. What you curse upon someone else comes back on you three times as hard. That's it, Randy. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I understand what you said earlier. I do. Thank you, Randy. Jude notes, our Juanita always says, some of the best Christians I know are atheists. Peace, Jude. Yeah, I've heard Juanita say that, and she is dear. And it has something to do with treating Jesus sort of existentially. As opposed to some sort of zombie wizard. Yeah. Lee in New York says, the Republican solution to ectopic pregnancy? Simple. Duct tape. God, I remember the time I was driving down to Charleston, and there's this, I don't know, some sort of wild-eyed evangelical gospel shop. Their pastor, after this time, this is way back, this is like 22 years ago, 23 maybe. But, you know, all these churches have these message boards on their signs there and at the cross. And I was on my way to work one day when I saw their message for that week, and it was, the message of the week was, a lot of people use duct tape to fix things. God used nails. And then I don't think it was a couple of years after that I happened to be thumbing through the Daily News, and, you know, somewhere around page A8, there was a story. Minister caught having sex with children. And lo and behold, guess which church it was? Yeah, the one where God fixes things with nails. You betcha. Aunt Lee in New York says, stop it, Robin. Stop telling us what we should not try at home. Okay, you can do the puns, but, you know, be it on your head. I tried to warn you. Prayer meeting Wednesday. I mean, we have to deal with these things. So, well, here we are, 2 hours into the program. $1,290 is the fundraising goal. Or $1,270. That's going back into April, trying to get caught up. Thank you, though. Thank you for doing all you can to keep this program on the air. It means the world. By the way, one of the talking points that these white-winged Bible bangers like to cite is a bullshit statistic that somewhere between 61 and 98% of children who report gender identity issues grow out of it. The Bible bangers, of course, report 98% do. No, they can't even use their own bullshit statistics with any degree of honesty. Well, there's a brand new study out. Comes from the Trans Youth Project. The Trans Youth Project has followed 317 children in the United States and Canada who socially transitioned between the ages of 3 and 12. Socially transitioned, of course, means that there were no medications involved. It was just a matter of letting them identify as who they are and dress accordingly. Well, on average, the social transition started at 6.5. And this study, the first of its kind, and having that many participants, found something that comes as no surprise to the trans community or our allies. The kids who transitioned and have been followed over the course of years only 2.5% of the study group went back to identifying as the gender that was assumed for them at birth. 2.5%. So as is seemingly always the case with right-wing talking points, the numbers are the exact opposite from what they're claiming. The 317 kids will be followed for 20 years. Not intrusively, but it'll be the first opportunity we've had to get a clearer understanding of what it's like for young transitioners. And, you know, I'm kind of living proof that it doesn't go away. My sweet sister Bobby is living proof that it doesn't go away. My sister Terry is living proof that it doesn't go away. All these wonderful women that I've gotten to know in the last couple of years are living proof that it doesn't go away. 61 to 98%, Steve in New York says, who the fuck cares? Let the trans kids and their parents work it out themselves. Family values my ass. Well, it's only family values for families that have the right values, Steve. That's how that works. Of course. Oh, and again, it being prayer meeting Wednesday, Here we go. This is a case of the law of unintended consequences, and I'm sure they've been waiting for the Supreme Court by a 9-0 margin to rule that Boston had to fly the Christian flag because Camp Constitution demanded it of them. Well, good for the Satanic Temple. Because they have officially issued a request yesterday with the City of Boston Property Management Department to raise the flag of the Salem-based Satanic Temple, yes, Salem, Massachusetts, to delineate Satanic Appreciation Week from July 23rd to July 29th. And you fuckers better run it right up the flagpole. And you Christians better not say a goddamn word about it. Oh, wait, you're going to say a word about it. Because it's religious rights for the Christians, but everybody else can go pound sand, right? Right. And, of course, Lucian Greaves, who is the co-founder of the Satanic Temple, responding to the Associated Press, said, well, the reason we're doing this is we want to show that religious liberty means respect for all forms of religious practice and religious opinion. When government officials are able to impose arbitrary restrictions on claims of conscience or to abridge the civic capacities of some based on their religious identity, we fail to be a free democratic republic. And he's absolutely right. By the way, just in case anybody's wondering, the Satanic Temple doesn't actually believe in Satan, Shatan. It is a non-theistic religious organization whose focus is exclusively secular. Good on them. Oh, well. You know, Harold Shirtleff can die mad about it. He got what he wanted. And I hope somebody tells all 9 of the goddamn justices on the Supreme Court about it. Or maybe Boston will turn him down. And they'll sue. And we will watch that fucking handmaid twist herself into goddamn pretzels trying to figure out a way to keep the Satanic flag from flying because her husband... wouldn't like that, and she has to submit to him as the church submits to Christ. Yeah. God, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. So, as Ralphs just said, come on, folks, please contribute. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. And by the way, and I am going back to the phones in a second. By the way, though, I want to give a cowbell to Kevin in Massachusetts. I had a note from Kevin earlier. And it's like, well, of course. Because Kevin pointed out that it didn't take long. He said, I was imagining it in my head, and then there it was. News story from Tegan Goddard's Political Wire. Dated today at 10:57 a.m. As I told Kevin, it's so gross to have this nasty little corner of my lizard brain back there. It's not as big or dominant as a maggot's lizard brain. but I can still go there sometimes, and I don't have to spend very long there before I can start thinking like one of those. Because here it is, 10:57 a.m. again today. Headline, Newsmax suggests Ketanji Brown Jackson leaked the draft. No, really, not kidding. A Newsmax host suggested, without evidence or logic, that future Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson may be responsible for the leak of a draft ruling that would dismantle abortion rights, even though she isn't on the Supreme Court yet. And cites to a story from Huffington Post. And, of course, it came from the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears and pass for brains of none other than failed NRA TV host Greg Stinkfield. Now, the fact of the matter is, Judge Jackson, Justice Jackson, can't so much as set foot in the building until Stephen Breyer retires at the end of this term. I personally think Justice Breyer should go ahead and retire now. So that the public face of the decent people on the court will be entirely female. Sometimes coincidences are damned interesting. Got a note here. I had the kind gift of some really cool hangers. And they're really helpful for me now because I have a lot more things that need to hang up lest they become all wrinkly. Really long dresses. So this individual said, so I gave you coat hanger-like hardware, and then we get the anti-abortion decision from the Supremes. What gives? Well, the goddess of irony doesn't take a day off. And sometimes she's just particularly good. I didn't think about that, though. That's kind of... yeah, that's kind of funny. So let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. And I'm assuming this is Robin, and I'm assuming this is Head On Radio.
It is both.
Because you were really channeling your inner J. Vernon McGee and Back to the Bible there with them Bible verses flying through the air earlier, an Old Testament exegesis and all that stuff. 'Tis so sweet to exegesis, I always say.
I was like, if you didn't, I was gonna.
I knew you would. I jumped right in ahead of you. Boy, you and Lady B set the table. Oh, a word about sea monkeys. I had sea monkeys when I was a child, and they died. You cannot get bananas that small. You can't get bananas that small or waterproof. And the little bastards just died right off. They did. But anyway, that's not why I called.
I mean, I've seen those ribby-ass little organic bananas in the grocery store, you know, little red ones, but that's still way too big for a sea monkey.
I'm getting static. No, I'm not. What are you doing? Do you still have one leg lifted and a finger pointed?
I'm nothing. I didn't do anything.
Must be me. Can I hang up and call right back?
You certainly can.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right. I wanted sea monkeys so badly, and my, bless her heart, my mother took that moment to
Give me another one of those economic explanations. Honey, they're not going to look like what's on the package, because I was totally taking it. And what child wasn't by the packaging? By the way, I saw a dear friend of mine the other day, and she said, I'm not very happy right now. Let me check my mood ring. Oh, hell, the mood rings are back. Can the pet rocks be far behind? How about earth shoes? Scott, did you have earth shoes, Scott?
I had, I think they were called clogs. They were made in Sweden or Denmark or somewhere. There was a time, Robin, in the 70s, I used to read Rolling Stone. And I got, a friend of mine had clogs, and I got me a pair of clogs. And in the back of Rolling Stone, there was an ad, and I don't remember the name of the company. They were in Maryland, up near Baltimore, but they were these all natural clothing. They were like almost like yoga clothing. They weren't button up shirts. They were pullover tops that looked very hippie-ish, and the pants were not, standard khakis or jeans or anything. They were like almost like yogurt pants. I'll be all right. Yoga pants.
Yes.
And there for a while,
when I try to eat yogurt with a fork, I wind up with yogurt pants.
Well, that is a problem, and then all you can do is shout it out, you know, when you get those nasty irredeemable stains or something. But yeah, I clogs and the hippie Indian type Nehru. I wish I still had that, because I'd like to walk down the streets in today's world wearing that and see if anybody would salute. I don't know. But anyway, I was going to say, you and Lady B set the table very nicely, and I want to talk about it. And I will warn you now that there is a trigger warning ahead with that topic that I'm going to get to. But
okay, before we get to that, because I've got a cowbell worthy response to the sea monkey remark.
Go ahead.
Courtesy of Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Let's go ahead and do the cowbell now. Sea monkeys. All sea monkeys are krill, but neither all krill nor all patriarchs are sea monkeys. That's tonight's logic lesson, kids.
There you go. I'm going to write that down when I listen to the replay, because I dropped my crayon. I was so stunned by sea monkey talk. Where else are they talking about sea monkeys and the Supreme Court? And
well, you know, here and in probably several nursing homes around the country.
Please don't talk about Supreme Court leakage. You mentioned that earlier. I'm thinking old Clarence, decrepit old
Yeah,
Clarence.
It probably has an odor and it's real sticky.
I don't want to know what goes on under that robe of his, or between his ears even. I mean, ooh, he gives me the fucking heebie-jeebies. I have a question, then I'll get to the meat of my, or the tofu of my call tonight. Do you use Ballotpedia? Or do you know anything about it?
I know about it. I don't, you know, go to it a lot, but I've seen links.
Is it reputable?
As far as I know.
Oh, because out of curiosity last night, I Googled up your district that you're running for the delegate seat, just to check up on the competition and not only in the general, but in the primary. And there's no picture of you in the circle and no bio. And I think
you have to go. You have to go and do it.
You to a physical place or
no, to the website. I guess you have to have some sort of.
Well, I thought maybe it was not reputable or something. So you skipped doing that.
It's just, you know, it's a campaign of two people, and shit falls through the cracks.
No, I just want to, you know, whatever advantage you can get or take, you ought to get or take it, is all I'm saying. But, okay, getting to the main tofu of the night with my call. And earlier you talked about it and Lady B addressed it. And by the way, when I grow up, I want to be just like Lady B. I mean, not just like, but a lot like Lady B, because I like her spirit. I like her attitude. and I like her interactions with you on the program. So just a tip of the rabbit ears to both she and you. Or you and
no,
she.
No, thank you.
So, because she's good people, Robin.
Yes, I mean, she is. She absolutely is.
And she knows stuff. And she has life experiences that seem to fit the conversation and thought-provoking points. I wish she could call in more because we do, you know, we have the issue of me calling too goddamn much. And then we have...
I don't see it as an issue, but, you know.
A dearth of female voices, and she brings so much to the table, and I just love her for it. So there, but you know, we're as bad as the current situation is with the recent draft leak of what they are planning to do and will most likely do, perhaps with modifications, but not nearly enough when they issue the final ruling. As if we're not dealing with enough, you know that with the state legislatures growing increasingly red, that on their back burner, if plan A doesn't work out for these fools, they've got a plan B, and it's the fucking Constitutional Convention. Now,
yes, our old friend, the Article 5 Convention of the States.
And imagine, if you will, if you dare, if it doesn't scare the fluorescent piss out of you, imagine, if you will, what mischief they will get up to should Plan A fail somehow and they use their fallback Plan B, the Constitutional Convention. I don't even want to imagine it, but yet it's on the radar. I mean, it ought to be on the fucking warning light board. Am I off base here?
No. You're parking the hanging curves in the cheap seats.
And I don't mean to, you know, give people something else to get upset about, because God knows there's enough on our plate. But it, and a lot of this could have been avoided if more people had voted with more good common sense and decency all along the way. We might have avoided some of this stuff. Now, the original Roe versus Wade, there were what, nine or eight justices? I forget if someone was missing.
I think they were all there.
Okay, so it was a 5-4 decision or 7-2 decision originally?
I'm guessing 5-4, but I'm guessing.
No, I think it was 7-2 because I heard Lawrence. So I was listening with half of my head engaged, and I think he said there were seven votes to affirm Roe versus Wade, and five of those were Republicans, Supreme Court justices going back, I believe, to the Nixon era, voted in favor of Roe versus Wade. My God, have Republicans changed or what?
Well, they were driven from the party.
Well, that, yeah.
I mean, there was a purge. It started with Reagan and accelerated through, you know, I guess you could say that as immoderate as he was, the last moderate Republican president was George H.W. Bush. After all, his daddy was a vocal supporter of Planned Parenthood when he was a senator from Connecticut.
He was the treasurer.
Yes.
Prescott Bush, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, here's the problem. They are in it. Somebody mentioned this the other night, and it might have been Lady B. They are in it. They play the long game, those Republicans do. They map it out. They're list makers, those fuckers, and map makers and objective. They've got fucking. They had post-it notes before there were post-it notes with their battle plans up on the fucking wall, and it's been nearly 49 years since Roe versus Wade, and here we are, And they've been chugging along with this in mind ever since go. And it's so unnecessary. It's so unnecessary that we should find ourselves in this dire situation, this tenuous situation. And maybe it's by design. Maybe they want to just give us all sads, terrible, terrible sads, or give us trouble. Why don't they just expire?
Why don't they just leave us alone? Because they can't. They have a mania that drives them to want everyone to follow their twisted religion.
And there's nothing in Roe versus Wade or Casey that says if you're a GOP lady and you get all pregnant and stuff, that you're required to go end the pregnancy. There's nothing, no verbiage of the kind in any of these laws. But it makes a provision for people who would like to at least have a voice and a choice in the matter. And that, to me, sounds like the American dream. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And a woman who is, especially if she's pregnant and was an unwilling participant in the process that causes that condition, ought to have the right to her own life as she determines it should unfold, and the liberty and the pursuit of happiness involved with not being unduly pregnant and locked into motherhood, at least the responsibilities of motherhood, for 18 years or 21 years, whatever it is. I know you never stop being a mother, but you get what I'm saying. And
sure.
It tries my fucking patience. And I don't mean to preach, but ever since Monday, and there for a while, it seemed like, well, they wouldn't really do that. And then that fucking Mississippi case, did they even suggest that they would like for Roe versus Wade to be overturned? Or was this one of these added benefits, so-called?
No, the Mississippi bill was crafted specifically to be completely, just like the Texas law, to be completely at odds with the constitutional holdings of Roe. See, what happens, Scott, and I don't, if I'm telling you something you already know, speak out. But there's a concept in especially right-wing legal circles called plaintiff shopping and forum shopping.
Yeah, I know about that.
And so what they did was they I don't care what it, whatever right it is that they want to take away, they wait until they get just the right circumstances so that they know it will have to go up to those six Federalist Society maniacs in Washington.
Yeah.
And once they've got the issue, they start dragging $100 bills through right-wing communities until they get just the right plaintiff.
Yeah.
And when they've got just the right law and just the right plaintiff or defendant, away it goes, like a goddamned Estes rocket.
And by the way, I meant to mention this before, the leaked Alito draft, they're trying to figure out who leaked it.
Yeah.
Well, you remember a little while ago I said there were five Republican justices, I believe, based on what Lawrence O'Donnell, what I heard him say, I think I heard him say, that there were five Republicans who voted in support of Roe versus Wade back in 73. And it's either the ghost of one of them or the ghost of RBG that snuck into wherever they keep the draft editions of the opinions. And it was Ruth Bader or one of those five Republicans who originally affirmed Roe versus Wade who probably leaked it. It was a cosmic event because we need, but me especially, because I'm one of these people, if it's chugging along fine, it doesn't get a lot of my attention because I figure it's always going to chug along fine. Well, that's a very bad mindset to have, and I'm finding that out now in what is one of the worst possible ways one could imagine. And it doesn't affect me in the sense that I'm not a woman, but I know women, I love women, and I know people who are just human beings who have empathy for people who are in difficult positions, come one day soon, not going to have the option to go through a whole lot of stuff that's needless. And more than likely to the detriment of all concerned, because they've been painted into that corner, that horrible GOP right wing religious fanatic corner, with no easy way out. And and we need to latch onto this. By we, I mean anybody who's a liberal or a straight thinking independent or maybe a halfway decent Republican, we need to latch onto this and make a thing of it, in the sense that, okay, motherfuckers, you did something that was totally stupid, totally unwarranted, totally unneeded. Have the waiter take it back to the kitchen. We need to just raise 31 fucking flavors of holy hell about this, and just fight till there's no fight left in us.
Make them own it.
Well, not
and make them own all the horrors.
Yes, and just paint that picture just as vividly and colorfully as you can toward that end of reaching people who know what a foolhardy, evil, mean-spirited thing this is, should it play out to their satisfaction. And why
we need to make it clear to them that they, not us, they will paint this picture in the blood of their own daughters.
Yeah, it
I mean, if you have, and you know, trigger warning, content warning, if you have an easily breakable heart, don't go and look up Jerry Santoro, whom Lady B mentioned. I saw the photo she referenced, and like I said, when I saw it, Mike was muted, and I started crying uncontrollably. She was 28. She was 28 years old. She was from Connecticut. She was pregnant by a guy that she had an extramarital affair with, and he was the one who got hold of the instruments and borrowed a book.
Jesus.
On, I guess, medical technique, and tried to do a DIY abortion in a hotel room in Connecticut. And she did it all because she had two daughters by a man that she had married and whom she had left in 1963, because he beat the shit out of her. I presume constantly or frequently. And she was trying to be a mother to two little girls already. She became pregnant. It was intolerable. And the photo taken by the police will break your goddamned heart. Unless you're the fucking handmaid, and then she doesn't give a shit. And Brett Kavanaugh wonders if she's fuckable because she's unconscious. And Sammy, well, Sammy's just a goddamned incel. And Slappy Thomas wonders if he could somehow get her to blow him dead. And Ann's boy Neil wonders if wonders how she'd be if she was frozen to death in a truck in Minnesota. I hate them, so Scott. I hate them.
It should be unmistakably clear of who we're dealing with. The mindset and the empty. I almost will say heartless and maybe soulless. And I know some people get hung up on the concept of the soul. To my way of thinking, the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the reason what Jesus said works so well with that definition of soul, what does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their mind?
But lose their own soul.
Their mind, lose their mind. Do you see evidence of them having lost their mind? Now, they've got their will, but it's so twisted, it's not even recognizable as a decent will, okay? And God knows their emotions are just fucked up beyond repair. So what does it profit you fuckers to get all the piles of gold and filthy lucre and power and prestige and to come out number one or whatever? What does it profit you people?
I think I have an answer, or at least a partial answer.
Please do.
They have to force everybody else into their sick and twisted beliefs. Because what they most fear is if the women in their lives are empowered to be fully autonomous human beings, then their whole game is up. It's over. It's done. Because it's all a structure of social control. They have, see, Scott, they have absolute control over the women in their world.
Oh, yeah.
Mormon women are famously submissive. Baptist white women are famously submissive. They do submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. They give away all of their autonomy. They give away their freedom. I mean, the Baptist Church, the Southern Baptist Church, will condemn a woman for divorcing a man who beats her like Jerry Santoro's husband beat her.
Yeah.
And the problem is that if people outside their sick and twisted cults start demonstrating that they can lead fully autonomous lives, then the next thing you know, the little woman is getting all uppity. It is their fear of their dictatorial structures falling apart that creates the need for them to make sure that they impose the vile, filthy wickedness of their structures on all of us.
And I'll tell you something. This is just an intuition on my part. And you've read it out right there, Robin. You truly have. You hit the nail on the proverbial head. But somewhere in those group of Mormon women or Baptist women or just other oppressed women, in the quiet of their mind and their own heart, when nobody's around and it dawns on them, there's some glimmer of awareness of the sick, toxic dynamic that they're in, that they're surely not going to voice it, but the little voice inside their head even makes them wrong for thinking those thoughts.
Yes. And, you know, lest anybody think that I'm just unfairly beating on the Baptists and the Mormons, holy shit, it's the Roman Catholics. Holy shit, it's the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox and the ultra-Orthodox Jewish women and the I don't know, the fanatical Muslim sects and the fanatical Hindu sects.
Well, I can confirm what you're saying, not as a woman, obviously, but as a former Catholic and a former Southern Baptist, you know of what you speak. I wasn't quite aware of what was going on. I didn't know the intricate workings of that toxic dynamic. when I was witnessing it, but I've since learned that that's what was going on before my very eyes.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the Roman Catholic Church, a woman has to cover her hair, her filthy demon-possessed hair, because Roman Catholic men are so unable to control themselves that if they see the woman's hair in church, they're just going to rip their clothes off and get, and the next thing you know, there they are, a rutting on Mayella.
Well, you can't get a stiffy in church, Robin. That's a bozo no-no. I used to know all the lists, the whole list of all the popes through history, and there, somewhere in there, there was a Pope Bozo, Pope Bozo the First, and I think he first issued that edict and listed it as bozo no-no, numero uno. So,
oh Jesus, you went a long way for that.
Yeah, I did. I did. But you're, I'm telling you. But then on the other hand, me, the relentless optimist, what if this whole thing is an example of a last gasp? And I kind of use this theory in regards to Trump making a comeback. What if this is a last gasp on their part, and it'll be rocky for a while, but clearer minds and cleaner hearts will prevail in the days and years and months ahead, and we can go back to undoing this and living right and being decent to one another? I mean, there's always that chance that they will have overstepped their bound. They did with Trump. That should show the Republican Party up for precisely what it is, to think that manifest lunatic.
Well, the problem, though, is that, and I guess it's kind of a paradox, the only way to stop a fascist is to stop a fascist. They don't come to their senses. Everything is going swimmingly, no matter how bad things are, as long as the fascists remain in control.
Well, they won't, but we will. Maybe this will be the thing that lights the fucking fire under our asses, and we say, not a step further, motherfuckers, not a step further.
Well, they're taking victory laps right now over J.P. Mandel of Nambia. Winning the Ohio primary last night. Not that Josh Mandel would have been any improvement, but they think that this means that the country is just yearning, I tell you, for the return of their spirochete infested god emperor.
Well, I'm telling you that maybe this is our chance to have that light, that fire lit under our asses, to say no more, fuckers, not a single step further will you go, and to put them in their place, to show them that they're wrong, and that the vast majority of people, hell, it's something like 70% of the population who was asked about a woman's right to choose is fine with it, left, right, and center. I mean, there are elements of all.
Well, right, and those women are being asked that question outside the presence of their husbands, to whom they must submit as the church submits unto Christ.
Yeah.
If you ask them in front of their masters, I mean husbands, the answer would be completely different.
And I just think it's time to lay down the law with these people. They're real big on the keeping of the law. Lay down the law to these fuckers during the primary season and into the general this fall and in 24, and just let them know 30% ain't bigger than 70%, and we're going to show you. We're going to give you a real-life illustration of that principle. I'm, you know, to use Barack Obama's slogan, I'm fired up and I'm ready to go. I've just had it. I mean, this is beyond the pale, and I'm not even sure what the pale is, but they have gone beyond it. I mean, I don't know the origin of that expression, but it sounds good. They have just overstepped. And we've got to say in a loud, steady, united voice, no, you don't. No, you don't. Nuh-uh-uh. And we've got to do whatever is necessary to keep them from going another inch or centimeter further in their march into madness. Because they want to take this whole fucking country into just abject terror and madness. They're like a bull, like my dad used to say. He's like a bull in a china shop. What he doesn't break, he shits on. Well, they've been breaking it and wreaking havoc for decades now and shitting all over the place. Enough. E-fucking enough. I'll put that on the dollar bill instead of e-pluribusunum. E-fucking enough. Do the design. So some of the artistic people out there can pick right up on that. But I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, Monday, you talk about a blue Monday. And if I'm incensed to the extent that I am, I can hardly imagine what women of childbearing age and women who care for women of childbearing age are feeling in the wake of this development. This is madness. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
If I could speak another language or talk in tongues or something to articulate it better, and maybe I'm doing fine. I don't know. When I get like this, Robin, it's almost like a child or even an adult who's just so outraged about something that they become incoherent. And I'm two steps away from becoming incoherent. So stop me if I get to be too, if I start frothing at the mouth or something. I cannot stand this. And what else is there to do but to vote intelligently and responsibly? Is there anything else that can be done other than to be outraged?
Get in the damn streets. Get in their faces. And yeah, you know what? Don't let the handmaid have a decent dinner out. Make her and her filthy fucking husband live in their houses like they're under siege. They want to do this to women. Women have a right to push back. They're not being polite. We are not obliged to be polite.
Maybe that's more productive than I can see, but some people will probably channel their outrage that way. I don't know that I would do that myself, but I'm not telling somebody.
Oh, I'm not telling anybody to be violent. Far from it.
No. Well, yeah, I know. That's like you understood. None of us is in favor of violence or insurrection.
You know, what I was saying earlier, you know, I think we have a right to tell them that they are writing their daughter's obituaries in their own blood. Not from anything anybody who objects to what they're doing, but because of what they are doing to their own girls. Plain and simple. I want the handmaid's daughter to be able to get the reproductive care she needs. I'm not trying to stop her. No pro-woman person in this country is trying to stop that. But the handmaid would watch her daughter die rather than see her exhibit any bodily autonomy. That's who these monsters are. They claim that abortion takes a human life. They're wrong. But they will not understand. They frankly will not care until it visits them. And that is some seriously biblical shit, Scott. That is Pharaoh saying that the firstborn male child of every Hebrew family would die, and it was rubber, and Moses was rubber, and Pharaoh was glue, and that's where Passover comes from, and the lamb's blood, and all of that stuff. The plague that Pharaoh sought to visit upon the children of Israel was instead visited upon him, and he got to hold the dead body of his son.
Well, rewind a little bit. Weren't there like plagues of frogs, and weren't there like
he only learns, and see, this is this is one of those lessons about human nature that you can kind of draw from. He only learned how bad things were when they happened to him. And it's going to be the same thing with these godforsaken Republicans. The curse that they seek to foist upon every woman in this country is going to first visit them. And it will not be my doing or any other woman's doing or any ally's doing. It will be their own doing.
I get that, but will it be enough? Because that's why I brought up the preceding frogs and crop failures and stuff. Pharaoh, it finally took, it wasn't like a one-off. He had what they call, didn't, in the expression, he was hard-hearted.
Yes, but God had, right, and that's where he's a big-bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Because according to Genesis, God hardens Pharaoh's heart so that God can keep shitting on Pharaoh, even if Pharaoh might see reason and come around and say, Doc, just leave. And, of course, none of this ever actually happened. This is total myth. The Egyptians were fantastic record keepers. The pyramids and the temples and everything were built by skilled craftspeople, not enslaved labor. But the moral lessons are, you know, universals. Sort of like the moral lessons that you can find in the Iliad and the Odyssey and the rest of Greek mythology.
And I'm all for the moral lessons. I'm just concerned that they are so far gone that even if something is visited upon their own flesh and blood, a daughter in this case, I mean, because you've even done stories about religious nuts who withhold medical treatment to their own fucking children.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that in their mindset, or if not their DNA, where, you know, that they bury a child for fuck's sake and they say, well, it must have been God's will. And when you use that retort, if you buy into that illusion, then you're pretty fucked up. And your capacity for learning is not very high. That's what worries me. That even if the worst happens to them, they'll find a way to rationalize it or justify it or anything to keep them from being right, doing right, and being decent. That's how insidious the virus is that infects these people. Did I just these people?
Yeah, you're free to do that.
An entire party. Todd's going to be on my case before long. But you get what I mean. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to give up. I want to be fired.
And I don't want you to.
And I don't want to be given up. But the task before us is, if you look at it from a certain angle, it's almost insurmountable. It seems almost baked in that there's no remedy for any of this. We've thought the best outcome will occur without us doing much, and here we are. And I'll put some of that on me, because it's foolish me. I thought that people would behave.
Well, I got a note from Suman. Question: turnout. Realistically, do you think enough Democrats will turn out in the elections, given what the idiots in the court did, or will we continue taking selfies in rallies? I wonder what the community thinks. I'm sure you realize this already. I'm asking for my 10-year-old. Well, it's not really what I think, though, Suman. I can't think my way into... It is a question of whether or not... In 2020, black women in places like South Carolina and Georgia saved us. In 2022... the onus has fallen to all women, every shape, size, and color, and the men who are willing to listen to us. And if we cannot get motivated over this,
well, that's why
I don't find much room for optimism.
Well, and God knows we need a dollop of optimism, and we need a big fucking dollop. You know, have a big old plane fly over and drop, you know, a metric ton of optimism and engagement on us.
Well, I've been, you know, how long have I been saying vote like your life depends upon it, because it does?
For a while now.
Well, now it's vote like not only your life, but your daughter's lives, your granddaughter's lives, your sister's lives, your girl cousin's lives, your girlfriend's life depends on it, because it does. And this is only the beginning, as Joy in Ann Arbor pointed out. This is only the beginning. Well, there will be more.
Oh, I know. And this is not the time to ponder and wonder if there's anything we can do, I guess. This is the time to do it, not fully knowing whether we can affect a positive outcome or not.
I mean, consider just for a second, and I need to go here because I've got another call I got to take. But okay. Just consider for a second. Remember, bear in mind the Holy Mother Church's view on contraception. That's Griswold. That has to go, too.
Oh, of course, in their minds.
Well, and from their minds to the Supreme Court's ears. Bear in mind that Holy Mother Church opposes in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to go, too. Because the only way a baby can be made is if a man uses his God-given dick to ram it to a woman. That's how they view it. And if the precious little fetus, the little zygote doesn't make it all the way down to her uterus, well, that's her goddamn fault. And she deserves to die. In the name of Jesus!
Well, they're channeling their John Hagans. Instead of starve,
it's
die.
Die!
All right. Well, thank you for letting me vent. I wish I could say I feel better. I'm not going to feel good for a long time. This is shaping up to be one hellacious week.
Yeah, it is.
It's only Wednesday.
And you know, there's other stuff. You know, there's another insurrectionist pled guilty.
Well, that's good. That's a positive. Well, anyway, thank you, Robin, for letting me.
Well, thank you, Scott. Always.
Thank you, Horn family, for being there to hear it, and thank you, whoever's going to be falling in next, because I can't wait to hear what you got for the old setting of the table.
Thank you, Scott. You have a good evening, my friend.
I will. I always have a good evening.
Go stand on that 3-foot thick block of foam rubber and have a cup of coffee in your Horn mug.
Oh, that'll be just nifty. All right, Robin, take care.
Later. Bye.
See you.
And thank you. Thank you to Arthur here on this prayer meeting Wednesday. Arthur broke the goose egg. We are now down to 1,263.34 because Arthur just kicked in $6.66. Thank you, Arthur. And now let's go to the stress line and check in with Heather up in Michigan. Hey, Heather.
Hi. I got a question for you.
Okay, I'll try.
And it's a totally, probably off-base question. But how's West Virginia feeling about Mr. Manchin?
Most, a ton of Democrats and progressives and liberals are absolutely disgusted with him.
Good.
But we also, now, but we also recognize, Heather, that our bench is thin. He owns the Democratic Party. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel. We are the Democratic Party in West Virginia is a little more than a cult of personality for Joe Manchin. And whatever the Republicans offer up will be so far to the right, it'll make Joe Manchin look like Che Guevara.
Okay. Now, I understand that. Now, explain this crazy internet myth to me. The squad is controlling him.
Ooh, I've never heard heard that level of crazy before.
Well, I met some lady on Facebook the other evening, and she got on my case for something, and she said that the squad is controlling Joe Manchin. And I really don't think that's happening, and I think that
you are correct.
It's crazy.
It is not. Yeah, that's a crazy thing. You just ran across a crazy maggot on Facebook. I know it's hard to believe they exist, but please believe me, Heather, they do.
I know they do, but no, she said that, I kid you not. She claimed that I was a Bernie bro. And no offense to this woman, she's been blocked, but she just gave me this yard of this. I mean, she gave me three or four comments about the fact that the squad is controlling what Joe Manchin is doing, and it's just, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then what makes matters worse is I've got a sane Democratic friend that believes the same fucking thing. Sorry about my language.
Girl, you got to get better friends.
I think the lady that, the sane lady that believes this, I might end up blocking her ass. Seriously, I love her to death, but no, that's a bit too far. I can't deal with that. And I love her, but it's just not cool. It just isn't. And it just drives me so crazy that people can think that way and feel that way. It just, I mean, it's conspiracy theory level. I realize there's a lot of that on the right side, but we don't need it. We don't, you know, the left does not need something. The left doesn't need people like that. It's, you know, but I'm taken aback by some of these people who are supposedly not maggots, but Democrats that think the squad's controlling Joe Manchin. It just isn't happening. It just drives me up. It upsets me something terribly. You know, and I just can't figure it out.
Well, I think, Heather, that it's probably best that you not even make the effort. Let that kind of crazy just go on and be crazy. I mean, you want to talk about crazy. I've got the story right here. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, let's enjoy it for a second. I'm kind of out of time, but I mentioned Greg Stinkfield over at Newsmuck,
and his and his theory of the leaker. You know, this is one of those this is one of those hockey puck moments. This this guy, I mean, I've said it before, I'll use it again, I'm sure, but this guy is the poster child of for if brains was gas, he wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB.
Okay.
So here it comes.
We're not telling them what they can do to their bodies, though. We're telling them what they can't do to a baby, a precious life. And speaking of Ketanji Brown Jackson, who you just saw there, I find it suspect that the first leak coming out of the Supreme Court in history comes short.
In history. It would be the first leak in history if only it wasn't the first leak in history. There were leaks over Roe v. Wade, and there were leaks over the Affordable Care Act. And they were leaks to right-wing news outlets like the Wall Street Journal. But never mind, because, you know, he's an idiot.
Shortly after Judge Jackson is confirmed, I want to know if her law clerks, who I am sure have already been hired, possibly even working at the high court already, before her swearing in, have access to these draft decisions. She would be my first suspect when it comes to the leak, because Ketanji Brown Jackson is a radical left-wing activist, more radical than any other justice in the history of the Supreme Court.
Since Ted Kennedy.
She is capable of undermining the court this way.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's a special kind of stupid, isn't it?
It really is.
Lee in New York just wrote in and said, the squad is controlling Joe Manchin? If that's true, the controller needs new batteries. Now, but you mentioned you mentioned the squad, and here is a beautiful moment. It is a beautiful moment because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is of course queen of the squad, has literally told curtsying Kyrsten Sinema to sit down.
Good.
It's beautiful. She said, until she changes her tune about the filibuster, Kyrsten Sinema can take a seat talking about women's access to health care. Because, no kidding, Heather, curtsying Kyrsten Sinema actually said that she supports the filibuster because it protects a woman's access to health care.
What? Oh, she can sit down, all right. She can. Oh, God, can she sit down?
Among other things, AOC said, "Hold everyone contributing to this disaster accountable, GOP and Dem obstructionists included. She should be primaried."
Oh, heck yeah. I have a friend from Arizona who voted for her. Not only did she vote for her, she went and knocked on doors, did everything she could for her. And right now, she's so upset. It just, I feel horrible for her. I really do.
Oh. You know, and of course, you brought up Joe Manchin. Well, Joe Manchin said, the filibuster is the only protection we have in democracy. You stupid, stupid man. It is not even remotely democratic. It is the most anti-democratic element of the entire government.
Exactly.
Sorry, Heather. By the way, Jude said she's really glad you called in.
Well, tell her thank you.
You just did. Heather, you have yourself a wonderful evening, dear. I got to roll out of here. I'm over time again.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Robin.
I'm so glad you called. It was good to hear from you, dear.
All righty. I'll try to call in again sometime. I promise.
Do please.
I will.
All right. You take care. Stay safe.
Mm-hmm, you too.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was nice. And thank you, Christopher. Christopher helped us along. We're down to 118
$1,218.34 in their fundraising efforts. Thank you so much, Christopher. That's so kind of you. Christopher said, it's been a while. Thank you. No, thank you. So glad you're out there. I'm so glad you're part of the conversation. Whew. These last couple of nights have been a little bit rough. Not because the program's been particularly difficult. It's just that the topicality. So fucking painful. It's awful. But that's the best thing about our community. We can get through the awful easier when we do it together instead of alone. So thank you to all our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to Christopher and to Earther for being a la carte contributors this evening. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. I think I'll have the White Rose stream up and running again soon. That'll be a help to everybody, I hope. Thank you. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and proudly now a union shop. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AKE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. You know, we're talking about a woman's right to health care access. It's worth remembering that we know that a woman who is doing everything right in her pregnancy for a baby that she wants, but lives near a mountaintop removal organ operation, she is like 180% more likely to give birth to a baby with respiratory birth defects than a really horrible, chain-smoking, beer-drinking, sedentary, non-exercising mommy who doesn't live anywhere near one of these operations. But never, not once, have you heard one single Republican ever say a word about those mommies or those precious fetuses, because they're in the way of the coal company profits. See how it works? Please stay safe. Get your second booster. Wear your mask in big box stores and the like anytime you're around people who probably aren't vaccinated. Maintain your social distance. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, you know who leaked that? Ketan J. Brown Jackson. Like, J's are middle initial. Jesus, these white man idiots. Avoid that person like the plague, because they are. And thank you to Women Standing. We are down to $1,208.34. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.